Now in verses 4 and 5, he raises the question, who are Israelites? And he's going to deal with that. Who are Israelites? And we have Israel defined here. He says several things identify them. In fact, there are 8 things that identify the Israelites. The first one that we have here, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Now, number one, the adoption here was national, and it pertained to the national entity, and not, of course, to separate individuals. Now, the only nation that God ever called his son is the nation Israel. Back in Exodus 4:22, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, this is what God said to Moses, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And again in Deuteronomy 7:6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, friends, either God meant that or he didn't mean it. And if he didn't mean it, then I don't know why you believe John 3:16. But I believe in John 3:16, and I believe in Deuteronomy 7:6. God meant every word of it. And in Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. God speaks of the nation, not just individuals, but the nation as being his son. He never said that of any other. The adoption belonged to them. And then we're told of glory. And this means the physical presence of God was with them. It is manifested in the tabernacle and later in the temple. We were told in Exodus 40, verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. They are the only people that have ever had the visible presence of God. And we don't have any visible presence of God today. And we need to remember that. Now, I know many years ago there was a man that put up a tent in Southern California, and one of the brags was that you can see angels walking on top of the tent. You'll see angels in the tent. Well, my friend, the minute he made a statement like that, I knew there was something radically wrong. But I think there was an explanation. They say that this man died an alcoholic. Well, I imagine that after you've had 2 or 3 drinks, you can see angels walking on tents. Then he probably did. But I come back to my original statement. Only Israel had the visible presence of God. No other nation. The church doesn't have it. And no individual has it. Now, if you had a vision last night while you were asleep, my suggestion to you is, do not say that God gave you a vision. He didn't. You just find out what you had for supper, and you'll have the explanation of it all. God gave to them the glory, and that identifies them. Then he's given to them the covenants. That's the next thing. The third thing, certain covenants belong to the nation Israel. God has promised them, for instance, he made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with the nation, and he made a covenant with David, and his line would rule over not only these people, but the world someday. They've been given covenants. We've not been given anything but the new covenant. But they were given many covenants. They were promised a land. They were promised a people. These were covenants God made with them. And he never made these covenants, friends, with any other people. Now, God gave to them the law. That's the Mosaic law. And the Lord said to them in Exodus 19:5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, he says in Exodus 31:13, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I'm the Lord that doth sanctify you. That's to the nation Israel, you see. Now, somebody says to me today, why don't you keep the Sabbath day? Well, because I'm not Israel. And somebody says, well, did God ever change the Sabbath day? No, he never changed it, but he sure changed us. We now are in Christ. That's a new relationship. They belong to a nation back there, and he gave the law to them. Now, number five, the service of God. Now, they had to do with the worship of the tabernacle and later on the temple. They were to be a kingdom of priests. That's what he said in Exodus 19:6. He says to them, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, the nation failed God, but he didn't give up that purpose. He then took one tribe, the tribe of Levi. They had the service of the tabernacle and later on the temple. They will in the future. I think in the millennial kingdom, the nation Israel will be God's priest here upon this earth. Now we have the sixth point of identification, the promises. Now the Old Testament abounds with promises made to these people. He told Joshua, rise, go over this Jordan, and you're to possess the land. I was over there some time ago. I didn't cross it now. It wouldn't be safe to. You'd probably get shot at. But several years ago, I crossed it. But I didn't cross it because God gave a command to Joshua and to the children of Israel. And I never felt when I was there that any of that land belonged to me. In fact, most of it I saw I didn't want, because there is a curse on that land today. When you hear the expression today, they're making that land blossom as a rose. They're doing wonders, friends. But there's a lot of it that just doesn't blossom like a rose yet, and will not until he comes, whose right it is to rule. And then they have the fathers. Now, that refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the ones that have the fathers. They belong to them. And then we have the eighth point of identification. Christ, the Messiah, came according to the flesh. And this is something I think very important to see. He came to this earth, and he was a Jew. The woman at the well called him a Jew. Paul is careful to say that we know him no longer, though after the flesh. And he is, as Paul puts it, Christ, who is over all, God blessed forevermore. And that's the way Sandy translates this last clause here. Paul identifies Jesus as God. And to Paul, he's the God-man. The Word was made flesh. And that flesh, according to the flesh, Christ came of this nation. The woman at the well, I think, is in a better position to say who he was than some scholar sitting in New York City in a musty library, swivel chair. I don't think that he could speak with authority. I don't care how many books that he's read. The important thing is that the woman at the well says, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, a woman of Samaria? That, I think, ought to make it clear.